Glenn and Garnet with us this morning. Mike and Hannah called and said that the baby kept Hannah up most of the night. She has a cold and so does the baby, and so she was pretty wiped out this morning. So pray for them if you would. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the privilege of speaking Your words, teaching Your words, understanding Your words, striving to live Your words. Pray that You be with us today and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. Being that Mike is not here, did somebody take care of the sound? Okay, thank you. Last time it seemed that we had a little interference with the wireless mic, and I don't know if this had anything to do with it, but I'm going to set it over here. And so if you notice any interference, give me the high sign, and maybe this way we'll avoid that. Turn with your Bible, if you would please, to Mark chapter 8. Mark chapter 8. Very familiar passage. Verse 34. And when He called the people unto Him with His disciples, also He said unto them, Whosoever will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for My sake and the Gospel's, the same shall save it. I'm going to talk to you this morning about the chemistry of Christianity. Energy occurs in many forms, including chemical energy, thermal energy, electromagnetic radiation, gravitational energy, electric energy, elastic energy, nuclear energy, and rest energy. But all of these energies can be categorized into two main classes. That of potential energy. I might as well just write it up here. Potential energy. And then there's kinetic energy. And this verse that we just read speaks of those two. Potential energy and kinetic energy. Now, potential energy is stored energy. There's chemical energy that is stored. Let me ask you a question. Is there potential energy there? There's potential chemical energy here. Okay? If I was to pop the top off of this, which I didn't realize it had a top on it when I got it. Let's see if we can get that off of there. Okay. There's potential chemical energy. Chemical energy has to do with burning or losing electrons, changing, dealing with electrons. Nuclear energy deals with the nucleus of the atom. But there's potential chemical energy there. Now, the way that we change the potential energy to kinetic energy is by initiating a chemical reaction. Trying to, anyways. There was potential energy in that match. It was potential chemical energy. Okay? Now, there's potential nuclear energy in this match, if you were to get to the atoms in the nucleus, but there's potential chemical energy in this match, and by initiating a chemical reaction, we are changing potential energy into kinetic energy by having a reaction. Now, the kinetic energy is the using up, the spending of the potential energy. You follow me? Okay. Now, there is also potential energy in gravity, gravitational potential energy. Because this match is not on the floor, it has potential gravitational energy. If you want to change that to kinetic energy, you push it off the edge and it falls. Now that potential energy turned to kinetic energy until it hit the floor. And then its potential energy has been used up. It's been spent. Alright? Unless you put a hole in the floor. Now, there is potential energy. You know how to change that to kinetic energy? Brother Jeremy, you know how to change that to kinetic energy. Sorry about that. Here, I'll try again. Okay. You can change that to kinetic energy if you'd like. But it's the using up of the potential. The spending of the potential. This ball has potential energy. Does it not? Now, when this ball is dropped, the potential energy changes to kinetic energy. When it hits the floor, there's kinetic energy transferred and it brings it back up. It gains more potential. But slowly it's going to lose potential. And as a kinetic energy, it's going to eventually... Now it's lost all of its potential energy as far as gravitation. It still has potential energy as far as chemical. We could set it on fire. It still has potential energy as far as nuclear. If we could split the atoms, the nucleus of the atoms in it, we'd have an atomic reaction, atomic bomb. There's potential energy here. Right? Okay, now, something to keep in mind. I've said this, each of these things have different... This has potential elastic energy. Okay? And that's changed when it loses its potential. Okay? There's potential elastic energy there. Now, there's also potential chemical energy. You set it on fire, initiated a chemical reaction. There's also potential gravitational energy, and there's also potential nuclear energy. It depends on which one you use up. You use up the potential gravitational by it going down. But changing potential energy to kinetic energy is how that things happen. The potential is spent. Now, if you have a battery, there's potential energy. If you have a candle, there's potential energy of many different kinds. Now, let me ask you a question. What is love? Is love potential or kinetic energy? They must have both. You can never have kinetic energy unless you first have potential energy. But love that is just potential is not real love, is it? Let us not love in word, but in deed. So love is not really love unless it is changed from potential to kinetic and you are spending it. You're spending the potential and that's where love comes in. Faith. Potential or kinetic? Well, first it has to have potential, but then it has to change to kinetic or it is dead. Faith without works is dead. The potential is there, but it's not being used. It's not being transferred to kinetic energy, and so it is dead. Kinetic energy is the energy of motion. Whether it be the motion of molecules in a chemical reaction, or the motion of something falling, or the elastic energy being released, or whatever, kinetic energy is the energy of motion. Of something happening. In 2 Corinthians 12:15, the Apostle Paul says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. So he equates love with spending and being spent for them. 1 John 3:16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. In James 2:14, what does it profit, my brother, though a man say he hath faith and have not worked, can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you sin, then depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled. Notwithstanding, ye give them not those things which are needful to the body. What doth it profit? Even so, faith that hath not works is dead, being alone. So changing potential to kinetic is dying. Is spending and being spent. Do you know a bee has the potential for living for quite a while? Years? And yet, he burns up his potential in just a matter of weeks. Because instead of his potential for long life, He uses his potential energy for making honey. And therefore, his potential for long life is sacrificed on the production of honey, which is also a potential energy that he has. So in Mark 8:35, he said, "For whosoever will save his life," his potential for God, "shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life," in other words, spend and be spent, "for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it." So what is the chemistry of Christianity? It is that your potential for God, your potential for what you were created for bringing glory to God and pleasure to God, there's a potential there. But you know you have, just like this piece of paper here, has potential gravitational energy. It has potential chemical energy. It also has potential nuclear energy. Okay? If we used up the potential nuclear energy, we would blow this place apart. If we used up the potential chemical energy, we'd light a little fire and it'd burn for a while and go out. If we use up the potential gravitational energy, we just let it fall. Alright? Now you have a lot of potential. The question is, what potential was this created for? Okay? Look at this banana here. This banana has a lot of potential of different sorts. Gravitational potential, nuclear potential. It also has potential for energy in my body. But you know what? If that potential is not used, the potential it was created for was to give me food. If it's not used for that, its potential energy will eventually be used up in another way. Oxidation, maybe eaten by bugs, rotting, wasting. It is still burning up its potential, but in a different way. But this is not the potential it was created for. It was not created to burn up its potential by rotting and wasting. We call it wasting because its potential was used in a way other than what it was made for. You follow me? Okay. God created you for fellowship with Him. You have potential to please Him. You have potential for eternal joy and happiness with Him. He gave you that potential. He created you with that potential. Unless you change that potential energy into kinetic energy for Christ's sake and the gospel's, you will lose that potential somewhere. That potential energy will be burned up and spent somewhere, but not for what you were created for. You will lose it for all eternity. Jesus said, John 12:24, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." Now, what was that corn of wheat created for? Was that corn of wheat created to rot and waste? Was that corn of wheat created to be a bug's meal? Was it created to fall into the fire and burn? It was actually created to fall into the ground and die and be metamorphosized, or however that word is, experience metamorphosis, and change into life and bring forth a plant and produce many more seeds. So that corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies if it doesn't yield up its potential by dying and being transformed into what it was created for, it will decay and lose its potential energy to forces of decay or eaten by bugs, but it will not bring forth much fruit. You see, that corn of wheat, if it refuses, in the analogy that Jesus is speaking of, he's talking about people. If that corn of wheat, out of self-preservation, is not willing to yield itself to the bringing forth of fruit, it will not retain its potential. It will lose its potential one way or another eventually, but it will not bring forth much fruit in those other ways. In the parable of the sower, some seed became energy to the birds. Some seeds were dehydrated and oxidized. Some seeds were choked and rotted and decayed. Some seeds brought forth life and fruit. Now they all lost their potential. But they didn't all bring forth fruit. They didn't all lose that potential for an eternal purpose. They didn't all lose that potential for what they were created with that potential for. You know, most people want to live as unburned candles. Women don't want to have babies because they don't want to have stretch marks and they don't want to lose their figure and they don't want to have wrinkles, and so they try to put on the makeup and they try to pay all kinds of money for special tooth implants when they lose a tooth so they don't have to look like they've lost a tooth. They want to retain their youth. But you know what? Sooner or later, it's going. Your potential is going to be gone somewhere sooner or later. You know, a heifer has two potentials: to have calves or to be hamburger. And there's a lot of heifers out there not wanting to use the potential for what God created them for and produce babies and offspring for the glory of God and be used up for God. But there's other ways. They'll eventually be hamburger for a bug somewhere, for worms. They're not going to retain it forever. Your potential is going to slip away. The question is, for all eternity, what did you spend your potential on? Men dyeing their hair, vainly trying to retain their youth, but you're going to grow old and die. You're going to waste. You're going to oxidize. Your potential is going to be eaten up by one chemical reaction or another, sooner or later. And you'll bring no fruit to perfection because you were unwilling to yield your potential for what God created it for. That candy bar is going to eventually die one way or another. Is it going to become mush? Is it going to become a dehydrated little blob? Or is it going to be used as energy for what it was created for? There's a battery. This battery here, sooner or later, its potential is going to be gone. It'll either be used for a purpose it was created for, or the acid will eventually corrode it. You ever seen a battery that's been in a flashlight that you finally found that you lost 10 years ago? Those batteries aren't so good. Their potential is gone. They've corroded, they've wasted, but they weren't used for what they were created for. You were created with potential energy to bring glory to God. You were, even after the fall, okay? God, you have potential. By the grace of God, you have potential to bring glory to God. You have potential to please and serve your Maker. You have potential to advance truth and right. You have potential for noble sainthood. You have potential for enjoying God's eternal kingdom. Unless you are willing to spend and be spent for the cause of Christ, unless you are willing to spend and be spent for truth and righteousness, unless you are willing to spend and be spent for the conversion of sinners, your God-given potential will be wasted for all eternity on something that is not noble, something that is worthless, something that is vain, something that will never benefit you in eternity. You might find yourself burning up your potential, keeping hell hot someday. Only one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Turn to Luke chapter 19. It is so grievous to look around our society and see the youth of America, the potential young men that could grow up and be godly young men, the potential young ladies. You look around there and you see these little girls. And we just did a riff on a house in Meadville. The little girl came home after school to an empty home because her mom is working, her dad's gone. She comes home to an empty house. I didn't know who lived there. I'm standing up there doing the riff and I see this little girl walk up and she's looking all puzzled, you know. I said, "Is this your house?" And she said, "Yes." I said, "We're just putting a riff on it." Poor little thing. She's a cute little thing. And I thought, There's potential. She could grow up and be a godly young lady. She could grow up and be a godly wife and a godly mother. But you know what? Because of, and by the way, she's the granddaughter to a preacher around here. But if you saw her daddy, you'd think that there's not a whole lot of hope of her growing up, reaching her potential for God. It's a cry and shame. No, they're using up their potential. By the time they get big enough to have common sense, they're either covered with tattoos or have holes all through them somewhere with things hanging out. Before they even get old enough to have common sense, they're being wasted on sin. Potential husbands are all, they're being wasted with immorality before they get old enough to realize what life's about. The young ladies, potential for godly young ladies, are wasted in sin by the time they're old enough to really figure life out. The wasting of our potential young people, the potential for Christianity, but the Bible's not everywhere and churches everywhere. The potential is there, but it's being wasted. In Luke 19, verse 28, and when he had thus spoken, he went before ascending up to Jerusalem. And it came to pass, when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, "Go ye into the village over against you, into which at your entering you shall find a colt tied, wherein never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither. And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall you say unto him, because the Lord hath need of him. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he had said unto them." They were fulfilling prophecy. Their king was coming, riding upon the colt of an ass. They were fulfilling an Old Testament prophecy. The greatest day was there. The day that all the Old Testament had talked about. The day, the glorious day when Messiah would enter Jerusalem. And they brought him to Jesus and they cast their garments upon the colt and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, he had just recently raised Lazarus from the dead. He was coming to Jerusalem. He had worked so many miracles. He had established who he was. The people with any common sense knew it. And it says here, he was at the descent of the Mount of Olives. The whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, "Blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest." And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, "Master, rebuke thy disciples." And he answered and said unto them, "I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out." And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it. Why did Jesus weep over the city? What was breaking his heart at this point? It was the potential. The potential. The potential for God's glory. The potential for righteousness. The potential for salvation. The potential that was there, but was being wasted, thrown away by rot and decay. Saying, "If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace." Belong unto thy peace. It means your God-given potential for peace and blessing. The word peace to the Jews included everything, including salvation, prosperity, blessing. The things that belong to your blessing and prosperity and your salvation. The very name of the city means he shall see peace. Jerusalem means he shall see peace. And Jesus is, I think, going on a play on words there. If thou hadst known, even now at this, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. They did not see their salvation. They did not see their peace. It was all intended for them. Paul grieves the same way and says, "I can wish myself accursed." The things that pertain to them pertaineth the adoption, the glory, and the covenants. They were the elect of God. It pertained to them. The potential was there. But it was thrown away. It was now hid from their eyes. Because they had hardened their heart and they had rejected light, they were judicially blinded. Now it's hid from your eyes. You'll not see it. He said, until you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. He says here, for the day shall come upon thee, because you missed this, because you closed your eyes, because you rejected the light, that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. You wasted the potential. And therefore your potential that you had, potential for something good and profitable, is going to be wasted. It'll be wasted in a battle with Rome, wherein they would be wiped out and destroyed and scattered all over the world. You have potential for good, you have potential for evil, and you have potential for rot and decay. Your life will be spent forwarding God's cause, or your life will be spent forwarding the devil's cause, or your life will be spent on vanity and temporalness, and your potential will rot. What makes Jesus the good shepherd? He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, that hireling had potential to be a good shepherd. He had potential. Every hired shepherd has potential to be a good shepherd. But by saving his life, by saving, not using that potential, by giving his life for the sheep, he spends his potential elsewhere. He was unwilling to spend and be spent for the sheep. So his potential is used and wasted elsewhere. You know, Brother Greg gave us a good message last Sunday about our potential for fellowship. The potential for holy, joyful, blessed fellowship. There's potential here. There's potential here for happy, godly homes. There's potential for God-honoring, noble, righteous living. There's potential for knowing God's Word and skillfully propagating the truth. There's potential, like we talked about in Sunday school, for young men and young ladies to get in the Word and devour it and digest it and know it and write it in their hearts and their minds and grow up with the engrafted Word so that they're ready to be usable vessels. There's potential here this morning. It's potential that God created in us. I didn't say that we're created with righteousness. I said we're created with potential. Okay? I'm not preaching that there's good in every man. There is potential there. You can repent. You can believe. God commands it on pain of death and hell. That means you can do it. And God will never do for you what He's commanded you to do. There's potential for repentance and faith and service and receiving God's life and receiving grace. There's great potential here this morning. Thank you. How will that potential be used? Where will that potential go? Is it going to be dwindled away day by day? In the mundane, Why was the Apostle Paul a chosen vessel of God? From the time we meet the Apostle Paul in the Scriptures, from the time we meet Saul of Tarsus to the end, we find a man willing to spend and be spent for what he thinks is right. He was no couch potato. He was no self-preserving someone who's willing to rot. Saul of Tarsus was not going to rot. He was going to do something with what he had. We find in Acts 26:5, in Paul's defense of himself, he says about the Jews, to the Jews, which knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived a Pharisee. Here's a man who was not going to rot in life. He was not going to die with mediocrity on his record. He was going to spend and be spent for what he believed. In Philippians 3:4, Paul says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, the most straitest sect of their religion. Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. And God looked down and saw a man who was willing to spend and be spent. And God said, I can use that man. He was fighting for the wrong side, but it was in ignorance. He thought he was doing it for God. He was doing it for what he thought was right. And when God turned him around and shed light on his path, he turned around with that same zeal, with that same fervor, he started serving God. He was spending and being spent. He was going to use every ounce of his potential for what he believed was eternally profitable. Listen to Tertullus when he accuses the apostle before the Roman governor. And after 5 days, Ananias the high priest descended with the elders and with certain order named Tertullus, who informed the governor against Paul. And when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing that by thee we enjoy great quietness, and that very worthy deeds are done unto this nation by thy providence, we accept it always, and in all places, most noble Felix, with all thankfulness. That's why they hired the guy. Notwithstanding that I be not further tedious unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow, a plague, and a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world. This guy's been busy, hasn't he? And a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. They knew who to target. They knew that if they could get rid of this guy, they'd have accomplished something great for their side. The Apostle Paul was using the same energy and fervor, in fact more, empowered by the Holy Ghost for the cause of God as he did for what he thought was the cause of God previously. In Paul's own confession, he said, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me. He said, I received not the grace of God in vain. That's a possibility. Did you know that's a possibility? That you can receive grace from God in vain? That grace from God is opportunity. It is favor. It is potential. But if you take it and you don't run with it, it will not accomplish what it was intended to accomplish. And it will be received in vain. Paul was not going to rot. God looked at him and said, I can use that man. He is a chosen vessel. You want to be a chosen vessel? You say, Brother Mark, what can I do? I can't do this and I can't do that. You know, Paul had physical handicaps. Paul had things that would be embarrassing to a leader. Embarrassing to a speaker. Embarrassing to an apostle. We find that his stature, his abilities and his eyesight, you know, seemed to be a problem. He had physical handicaps that would have been embarrassing for someone trying to represent Christ and lead people. And people didn't let him forget it. They used it. His enemies used it. They made use of that in trying to put him down. But he was willing to spend and be spent with what he had. You say, I may not be a big candle. Are you willing to burn out? Are you willing to spend and be spent with what potential you have? Well, I don't have a lot of years left. Are you willing to spend and be spent with what you have? Is the question. That's what God is looking for. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and we'll bring this to a close. Second Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is in the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves. You say, Brother Mark, I don't feel like I could stand up and be a preacher. If you're preaching yourself, sit down. But if you're going to preach Christ, there's plenty to say. Amen? For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. That's the first step. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. You don't have to say, well, your potential is not resting in your talents. Your potential is not dependent upon your inherent goodness. Your potential is not dependent upon your inherent knowledge or inherent value. Your potential is based on the fact that you are an earthen vessel whom God can cleanse, whom God can fill if you are willing to spend and be spent. That's where your potential lies. And this treasure we have in earthen vessels. You know, this was a great blessing to me in my early years of serving the Lord. I felt, when I first came to Christ and began serving God, I was very much an introvert. I felt like a social misfit first degree. I seemed like every time I opened my mouth, I said the wrong thing. I had a little bit of a speech impediment. I had a hard time enunciating clearly. I was not a ringleader among the popular crowd by any stretch of the imagination. I was very quiet. I was an introvert. I let my older brother go first to see what happened to him before I wasn't one to step out on my own. But when it came time to serve God, I realized there was a responsibility there. It was not a matter of how well I thought I could do it. It was a matter of I was supposed to do it. God was telling me to do it. I was obligated to do it, regardless of whether I thought I could or not. I realized that all I had to do was be a willing earthen vessel, that He would supply the treasure. But if He supplied the treasure, I could either receive the grace of God in vain, or I could be willing to spend and be spent. Let's go on. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying, the kinetic, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh, so then death worketh in us, but life in you. There is a chemical evaluation here, a definition of this. Do you know that kinetic energy can be transferred? This match is dying, but the kinetic energy can be transferred. The death, the dying here, ignites this and helps this to start dying also. Do you know that in the game of billiards, we call it pool, you hit one ball, and what are you doing? You give that ball kinetic energy. And when it hits the other ball, it transfers the kinetic energy. Okay? The transfer of kinetic energy is what he's talking about here. He says, death is working in us. We are turning potential into kinetic. We are burning up. We are spinning and being spent. But in the process, we're lighting your fire. In the process, we are transferring our kinetic energy into you. It says here, death is working in us, but life in you. And that life is the life of Christ. In Galatians 4:19, he says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. In other words, I am travailing. Death is working in me. Christ is burning me up so that I can implant Christ in you so that He can burn you up. I am spending and being spent to form the mind of Christ, the will of Christ, the Spirit of Christ in you so you can be a vessel. Spending and being spent for God. You were created with great potential. God is watching. He's watching to see where that potential is going to be used. There's great potential in your marriage. There's great potential in your home. There's great potential in this church. There's great potential in these young lives. There's great potential, just like there was in Jerusalem when the king was coming riding on an ass. There was great potential there. But Jesus wept because it was wasted. He was burned up on something else. They wasted their potential on preserving their ism and their way. And for all eternity, that potential is gone. God created you with great potential. You can receive the grace of God in vain. You have the Bible. You have a Christian home. You've got light. There is grace at your fingertips. What are you going to do with it? Is God going to weep? Is Christ going to weep over you wasting your potential for some other purpose than what you were created for? That grace of God, treasure of God's grace and His Spirit placed in you at conversion. You are the temple of God. What are you going to do with that potential? Whatever you do with it, it will be used up. It will be spent somewhere for all eternity. Let's stand together.